Sorry, what's up, you degenerates? And my mom, actually, because I know that she's definitely watching this too, so hello, Mom. Hope everybody had a phenomenal weekend out there. You know, it's always a good Friday when we have the day off, so very nice long weekend in that sense, and very happy Easter weekend to all of those who celebrate as well. Welcome back to the Daily Peel video stream of the day. It's been a while since we talked to you guys, so I'm very happy to be back on here talking about everything markets that happened at Kickstart this week and Kickstart this beautiful month of April and most of all the second quarter of 2024 as well. The first quarter, as we'll talk about in just a quick second, was one of the very best quarters in terms of a starting quarter to any year that we've had in quite a while. Actually, the best one since 2019, so obviously off to a good start there. Really can't complain in that sense, but we did have a relatively weak day over here at the WSO Alpha portfolio, so that is certainly something that we can and that I will be complaining about. So we lost about 37 basis points on the day, took a little bit more of a hit than the S&P 500's 20 basis points loss, and a hell of a lot more of a hit than the NASDAQ's 11 basis point gain. Not a big moving day in either direction, pretty boring out there. I fell asleep on my computer a couple of times, but of course the Daily Peel is going to be just as exciting as always, so make sure you go check that out for some of the charts and all that other bullshit that I'll be referencing here today. But relatively weak day to start off the new quarter. Obviously, like I always say, guys, we got to give these indexes a little bit of a head start. They're just a little bit too easy for us to beat here, you know, given the immaculate talent that the crayon eating apes here at WSO Alpha have. So got to let them off to a little bit of a head start, and we'll be back right on top soon enough. Definitely go check out WSO Alpha, subscribe to the portfolio, stay on top of all of our trades, and then you can either make money along with us or bully me when I lose money. All right, either way, let's go ahead and get into some of the banana bits for the day. So like I said, U.S. markets officially had their best start to the year since 2019. More than 70% of S&P 500 companies are up to start the year. Very rare thing to see something like that, which is, you know, in direct opposition to the next link that we have here. So that first link talking about how markets are doing phenomenal, pretty much every stock, or at least 70%, are up to start this year. Second link from the Wall Street Journal is saying that the Mag 7 is now officially the Fab 4. I think they were just a little bit upset that there's not any alliteration in the term Mag 7. I don't know why they weren't called like the Spectacular 7 or the Sweet 7. Anything else like that. They should have hit me up when you need alliteration, just let me know. But they are moving into the Fab 4 here because it seems like there's really four stocks that are dominating markets right now. Here's a little bit of a hint. Apple is not one of them. It's names like Nvidia, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, lifting markets all year, and definitely especially yesterday, because we'll be talking about Alphabet and what they did in just a couple of minutes here. But before we get into that, data security company, they've seen Reddit and, you know, Donald Trump's bullshit-ass meme company absolutely plummet since IPOing, and they said, you know what, I want to get a piece of that. So Rubrik has decided to file to go public. This is a data security company that I just heard about today. But if you're a startup tech company and you have the sound brick in your name, apparently that means you get billions of dollars in pre-IPO valuation. So that's where they're sitting right now, despite having close to $400 million in losses, nearly doubling from last year. So very ballsy move from the team over there, but we can't wait to see how that one goes, and we will definitely be covering that in an upcoming video. By the way, that reminds me as well, stay tuned this week as we do have video coverage on Reddit coming out, as well as Donald Trump's company. We'll be talking about the SBF arrest and the sentencing and how it kind of compares. So a lot more content to be coming your way this week. Definitely make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you have us on your radar. Turn on the damn notification alert as well. That way you don't miss any of my bullshit commentary and my yapping over here. So definitely going to stay tuned for a lot of that stuff here. Speaking of things to stay tuned for, though, we got big news from Apple. Now, there's a lot of noise on Twitter here today for, or I guess X, but there's been a lot of noise on X here today for Apple to be acquiring companies. Now, this is a big fat allegedly, but Apple is allegedly in talks to put some of its cash pile to use and buy Perplexity AI. For the uninitiated, Perplexity AI, this is basically a search engine artificial intelligence company. So this would be in direct opposition to the alleged deal that Apple was going to have with Google to have Gemini kind of power search engines on iPhones going forward. We'll see if it actually comes into fruition. There's a bunch of yapping on Twitter about Apple purchasing any number of artificial intelligence companies. Very hard to decide if that's actually true, but given that they just shut down the Apple Car and like their vehicle unit, don't be surprised if Apple makes some big moves in a new direction coming up here soon. You know, initially when the Vision Pro headset was released, there was a lot of hype around it. There was a lot of hopeful optimism, but now it seems like that's starting to die out a little bit. I've heard a lot of people who purchased the Vision Pro and then went and returned it after kind of playing around with it for a little bit. So, you know, they need something to make a splash here. Apple stock has clearly been disappointing investors. And the biggest debate around Apple lately has been, have we reached peak Apple? So maybe if they could dominate the artificial intelligence search market, maybe they won't go away. And instead of just being a tiny, puny little $2.5 trillion company, they can get back into that $3 trillion range with Microsoft. All right, let's go ahead and get into one of the big stories for us here today. So we have Malcolm Monkey. We are, of course, talking about Q4 GDP revision. So I don't know if you guys know this, but basically what the U.S. does is we have a really difficult time counting things like our economy. So what we do is we basically take three guesses and we say, you know, third tries the charm and the third guess is the most accurate assessment of economic performance for any given period. So what we just got over this past weekend on March 28th, beautiful Good Friday gift, was the latest revisions to GDP estimates for Q4 of 2023 and therefore all of 2023 in total. Now, one of the best feelings in the world, I imagine, because this has never happened to me before, is walking into a room just thinking, yeah, I could fuck up everybody in this room if it came down to it. Like, if it was an all-out brawl, I would be the last one standing. Like I said, I have no idea what that feels like, but I imagine it's a pretty damn good feeling to be feeling that strong. But what if you were even stronger than you had previously expected? That's exactly what happened to the U.S. economy here in this GDP reading. So, effectively, we all know that the U.S. is the most jacked guy in the room. The largest economy by far, it's not even close. Don't talk to me about China right now. It's not even close whatsoever, especially after the growth rates that we achieved this year. So the U.S., they walked in, they thought they were ripping three reps of 225 on bench, but they actually went in there and ripped like five or six because they blew everybody away with these new numbers. So drumroll, please, because U.S. GDP accelerated at an annualized rate of 5.1% in Q4. Now, that is nominal numbers, so that's pre-inflationary numbers, but 5.1% growth is almost unheard of since the fucking post-World War II days, since the damn Kennedy administration, before that guy got his head shot off. Our economy really hasn't been growing this strongly since basically back in those days, except, you know, brief periods in the 80s and 90s. But in terms of real GDP acceleration, so this is after adjusting for inflation, we go 3.4% for the same period. Again, huge growth. Great way to end the quarter. It was a very dovish end of 2023, and so that's what we rolled into 2024 with. Now, that translates to a real GDP growth for all of 2023, not just Q4, all of 2023 of 2.5%. That is much higher than the 1.9% that was previously reported. 1.9%, ironically, is also the quarterly GDP inflation rate that we saw. So, you know, just kind of ironic right there. We'll talk about inflation in just a quick second. But 2.5% growth in terms of a real basis in 2023, that brings the overall size of our economy to $27.96 trillion. That's an increase of $346.9 billion from 2022. That's larger than most GDPs combined, quite honestly, around the world. And that was just the U.S. addition in last year. That's what artificial intelligence and all this fucking hype around it does, I guess. And I guess there was some other stuff going on, like infrastructure development and, you know, losing people in the Titan submarine. I mean, not that that impacts GDP at all, but it was definitely a big story in 2023. But this is the third and final number, like I mentioned. So the numbers are in. We grow at a 2.5% rate in 2023. That's kind of the big number to take home with. But if we start to look a little bit deeper into these numbers, we can start to see that the growth that we saw was actually growth in the right places. Now, what do I mean by that? If a lot of this growth had come from just increased government spending, whether it was federal, state, local, or anything like that, that's not really indicative of a growing economy, because that's just Joey B or whoever the Joey B of your local town is deciding that they want to throw more money at the local community. So that's not necessarily what we saw. What we actually saw was in 2023, the biggest contributor to GDP growth, retail trade. That is a phenomenal sign. Retail trade, as loyal apes know, is basically a proxy for consumer spending. Consumer spending was off the charts in 2023. Consumers were absolutely jacked, just like the U.S. economy. And given that we make up about 70% of the U.S. GDP is made up through just consumer spending, no wonder that the U.S. economy is looking extra jacked lately as well. So obviously a great way to end the year. Now, the tough part is if we look a little bit more in-depthly into that chart and the piece here, we can see that the worst performing sector of GDP growth in 2023 was, of course, finance and insurance. So that's why it's been so difficult for a lot of you guys to actually land those jobs that you're looking for. Check out the WSO Academy if you want to secure those jobs guaranteed, just as an aside. But that was really the only bad part, at least for loyal ape readers of the Peel. But overall, this report adds yet another feather into the cap for those of us who are arguing that we've already achieved a soft landing. We have inflation continuing to move lower. We have strong employment. And most of all, we have absolutely jacked beyond the seams growth. So all good stuff in that direction. But certainly doesn't feel like that in the broader economy. You know, if you go on X, if you go talk to anybody, they'll probably say that the economy is doing really shitty. And a big reason for that is because prices are still elevated. Now, they're elevated against like a pre-COVID benchmark. They're never going back to those prices. So it's more just taking time for consumers to get used to the new price levels. And given that incomes accelerated quite a bit in 2023 as well, we really shouldn't be complaining too much, but it's always going to be the yappers and the complainers that you hear online. So don't trust them. The economy is absolutely firing on all cylinders. And when we're talking about income here, we saw real gross domestic incomes, or the slice of the GDP pie that is taken up by consumers like you and me. We saw this grow 4.8% in Q4, and for all of 2023, grew 0.5%. Now, that is above inflation, of course, which is kind of a baseline starting point. If we're not growing earnings above inflation for too long, that's how you get fucking the Russian Revolution. So we really don't want to see that. So this was obviously a great sign to see that incomes are growing alongside that. Like we said, 4.8% for the year. But if you look a little bit more closely at this table that I've included in the piece, we see that PCE price index, excluding food and energy. So this is core PCE, and best of all, it's quarterly core PCE. This is J-PAL and the Federal Reserve's absolute favorite metric of inflation. That accelerated at a rate of 2.0% in Q4, exactly what the Fed targets at that 2% range. So once again, another great sign of a soft landing that I'm sure people are going to find a way to have a problem with, but obviously that's going to influence J-PAL and his market view a little bit. If anything, that will, you know, it probably isn't going to change the rate expectation scenario because it's not a big divergence in either way. So don't get too excited on me just yet. People are still not expecting rate cuts to begin until this summer, skipping past the May meeting, probably more likely to happen in July. Of course, we'll keep you updated until then. But the real next update that we're going to be on the lookout for is this Friday's jobs report. Because, you know, with the economy firing on all cylinders in 2023, the one thing that we can say with confidence about macroeconomics is that it never stays the same for long. There is absolutely no stability. It's one of the big differences between macro and other sciences. I should put quotes around macro when I call it a science because it really isn't. But one of the big differences between macroeconomics and regular sciences is that in physics, you can have some kind of a stability, but in economics, absolutely not. There's constant changes between these equilibriums. And so staying at a very strong pace for long is definitely not something that's going to happen. So what we should kind of be on the lookout for is any signs of weakness going forward. We climbed a wall of worry in 2023, and typically after climbing a wall of worry is when that kind of euphoria or those good vibes set in. We'll see if that actually happens in the United States. There's not going to be any good vibes until, you know, we stop having 80-year-old men run for the presidency. And that's really what's driving a lot of this economic insecurity. So, you know, that's why a lot of people are mad. It's more of an extension of their political viewpoint. Obviously, we don't get political here over there at the Peel. The only politics that we care about is GDP growth, and we sure as hell got that in 2023. So we're pretty happy about it right now. Stay tuned, though, because we'll be talking about politics in just a quick second with Donald Trump's meme stock. But before we get into that, let's get in with some actual good performances for the day. So first and foremost, we have Micron. This was one of the leaders of the S&P on the day, up only about 5.44%, as we saw, you know, somewhat of a mixed or like a blended performance there. Now, Micron and its performance lately is making NVIDIA look like a fifth-year senior that's still showing up to high school parties. And NVIDIA is the guy, the freshman, that can, you know, shotgun a beer in about 3 seconds. It's definitely getting a bid. This, I mean, both for the fraternity and its stock. So basically what happened is this guy at Bank of America, his name is Vivek Arya, he upgraded his view on Micron, basically upgraded the price target by about 20% from 120 to 144. Obviously a solid raise right there, but the really interesting thing here is that guys named Vivek apparently just love artificial intelligence. I don't know if you guys remember, but the absolute funniest moment of the 2024 presidential cycle so far has been when Chris Christie said that Vivek Ramaswamy sounded like ChatGPT. Now we have Vivek Arya hyping up the potential of artificial intelligence, especially as it relates to Micron's control over the, you know, high bandwidth memory market. That's basically what he's saying is going to see outsized growth and is currently priced in. Checked on the price target and the stock ran up 5.5%. All right, moving on down into Google, another big mover of the day. Moved a little bit less so, but still, it was definitely a solid day for the company. Now, it's my belief that nobody should really get rewarded for simply stopping being a scumbag, but that's exactly what happened at Google on Monday. Basically, what happened with this company is that they're in a bit of a lawsuit, you know, very small amount, just a cute little $5 billion in terms of consumer privacy violations. And so to sort of acquiesce the lawmakers in that sense, they have agreed to do what they should have been doing from the very beginning, and that is to delete billions of data records associated with privacy mode, or as you guys know it, incognito mode. Google has actually been storing all of your incognito mode searches on servers, so yeah, probably start freaking out. Probably make sure that you at least delete your local search history, because God fucking knows that nobody else on Earth wants to see anything to do with that. But we'll see what actually happens with Google, if they do end up doing it or just kind of hiding it somewhere else. At the same time, over the past couple of weeks, their Vlogger AI, this is Google's version of Sora, or their kind of text-to-video prompter, has been absolutely blowing up on X, gaining a lot of popularity. Again, I don't know what these numbers mean that make the model good, but the videos are really sick looking, so I guess that's good for the stock. Go check it out there. All right, moving on into the rotten names of the day. So we have, of course, Trump Media and Technology Group, DJT. Now, this stock was down quite a bit here today. Let me go ahead and Google the exact amount, because I don't have it on the piece yet for some reason. Yeah, 21.47%. I mean, this thing is an absolute piece of shit. This is a complete meme stock, but you know, the merit to it doesn't come from its stock valuation or from its fundamental performance. This is a trade on Donald Trump's image and likeness. Full stop. That's all that people are trading right here. So you're buying the stock if you're a supporter of former President Trump. You want him to be in office in 2024. Most of all, you want to bail him out of his legal expenses. This is the best way to do so, is buy a shit ton of shares in TMTG, or DJT as is the new ticker symbol. Now, effectively, what's happening here is, you know, there's no money being made by Trump Media and Technology Group. All the reports out there say they made somewhere between $3 and $5 million in revenue in 2023. Absolutely disgusting, because they're trading at a current, you know, similar valuation to Reddit, both between like $8 and $10 billion right now. Reddit made more than $800 million in 2023. Trump Media and Technology Group didn't even make 1/100th of that, again, according to these reports. But they're trading at similar valuations. It's about 2,000, 1,000 times sales maybe here today. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. No connection to reality whatsoever. But because Big Donny T owns about 60% of the float, obviously his supporters are going to be bidding this thing up. He had 70 million people voting for him in 2020. So, you know, that's a pretty good base of shareholders. And these guys are going to be loyal until they die. Now, this could become a real legitimate company if Trump was to do something like transfer some kind of like royalty interest of the Trump brand into ownership of TMTG. Now, that would be a very complicated thing. We can look back into examples like David Bowie, who actually sold Bowie bonds back in the day, where you could like invest in his music. And, you know, it was actually a pretty cool transaction to look into. We don't have time to talk about that here today. But Trump could transfer some of the revenues that he receives in royalties from the Trump brand into this organization. Now, that would certainly bid up the stock price. It might actually be better for his net worth if they start to actually make money, and then the stock price bids up parabolically in, like, in ratio compared to, you know, whatever revenue he would be receiving from the Trump brand anyway. If you were to put that into the TMTG umbrella and the market cap of TMTG increased by more than what he would have been earning already, obviously that's going to be a fairly good trade for him. I don't know if any of that made sense, so please bully me in the comments if it didn't. But moving on down to MicroStrategy here. Now, Bitcoin had a decently rocky weekend. You know, when it's a holiday, the bulls, they actually take a second to go outside, apparently, probably on an Easter egg hunt this week, because I'm pretty sure most buyers of Bitcoin are still in middle school. But MicroStrategy here, what we're talking about is actually a seller here today. So Mr. Michael Saylor, he has been one of the horniest proponents of Bitcoin for the past ever. I'm pretty sure he was making out with Satoshi back in 2009. So he's been pumping this thing on Twitter like it's his fucking job. Basically is his job at this point, because MicroStrategy is effectively a levered Bitcoin ETF. So he started selling shares here today. Now, really isn't a huge concern. There's an old saying in Wall Street that there's a million different reasons to sell a company, but there's only one reason to buy a company. So, you know, executives, they're just like you and me. They need to actually, like, eat food and have a place to live. So sometimes they need liquidity. But it's interesting that, you know, Mr. Saylor is selling this into what I presume to be worthless, useless United States dollars instead of just into Bitcoin and transacting with that. If Bitcoin was so great, why aren't we just transacting with it there, Michael? But either way, this guy, like I said, I mean, he likes fucking Bitcoin like Hugh Hefner likes, you know what, we don't have to get into that here right now. But obviously everybody sold shares in response to the absolute king of crypto pumping. That's really the only natural response that you can expect like that. All right, moving on into the final piece of the day here. We got Thought Banana. We are talking about harsh vibes, specifically harsh vibes for Gen Z students on college campuses, or I should say harsh vibes for prospective Gen Z students on college campuses that are no longer choosing to go to these colleges. We're seeing a huge increase in enrollment at vocational-focused community college. Honestly, in terms of, like, being good for the United States, this is one of the fucking best pieces of news I've seen in quite a while. Everybody knows that people in Gen Z, especially myself, can't really do anything for themselves besides yap on a fucking computer screen. But it's good to see that some of my compatriots in the Zoomer generation are actually learning tangible skills. So We've seen an explosion in attendance at vocational-focused community colleges. Things like welding, things like plumbing, construction, all that cool shit that gives you calluses on your hands that your dad probably did. That's what the Gen Z students are starting to get into a little bit more and more. At the same time, so we saw about a 16% increase in vocational school attendance. Meanwhile, we saw a 0.8% increase in attendance at all four-year institutions put together in 2023. Obviously, students are vastly choosing to go to vocational schools much more so than they would. Now, it does have to be said, these vocational school rates, this is starting from a much lower base. So much lower number of students. Obviously, the percentages are going to be outsized in that case. But still, it's an interesting trend to see because we've really been seeing it since COVID hit. So this is starting to seem less like a post-pandemic reaction and more like a long-term trend, which is obviously something that we're going to be on the lookout for. So despite all the cringy-ass TikToks and safe spaces that Gen Z has become famous for, turns out that some of us are actually cool with getting down and dirty and working with our hands. Now, there's a lot to be said here. First and foremost, it's clear why a lot of these people would be choosing to break away from the traditional college path. The absolute ridiculous cost, well, like we said, the very harsh vibe for a lot of people on college campuses around the country. And, you know, it's just this idea that artificial intelligence is going to come and replace knowledge workers much sooner than it is to actual physical laborers who, once again, contribute value to society. So a lot of people are kind of assessing the math here and saying the math ain't math, and I am going to go ahead and pursue a trade and actually make my parents proud. Now, I have no idea what that's like, but it is important to note that earning a bachelor's degree still correlates, not causes, big difference there. Earning a bachelor's degree correlates with much higher lifetime earnings than just a high school degree, and even 40% more so than receiving an associate's degree. So with an associate's degree in America, you can expect to earn at least $2 million over the course of your career. It's about $2.8 million if you're a bachelor's degree holder. And you actually put that to use, that probably does require majoring in something that isn't gender studies or underwater basket weaving or whatever the fuck else you guys are majoring in. So that's an important thing to note. But then again, these guys don't have student debt. So while incomes are going to be much better for college degree earners, I would love to see some data on like post-student debt repayment incomes. Like, we always adjust for taxes and inflation and shit. I want to see adjustments for student debt payments. Not that anybody actually pays these things, but either way, that would be an interesting analysis. I was looking for like 45 minutes here today, and I just couldn't find anything on that whatsoever. So, you know, it's definitely an interesting trend to see here. This is both markets and market interference at work. When we're talking about markets, we're basically saying that, hey, you know, the U.S. economy has moved into a services information-based economy over the past half a century or so. So obviously with that, there's going to be more demand for college degree holders, people who have expertise in specialized fields that we need for knowledge work. But at the same time, that demand for college degrees has drastically pushed up the price. So that's kind of the market mechanism at work there. When you add in market interference with, you know, federally sponsored student loans, obviously that's going to jack up prices even more so when the government gets its hands all over things. We can talk about that much more in-depthly because it's one of my favorite subjects to talk about in another video if you guys want to. Let us know in the comments below. But given that we're seeing such an explosion in prices at the same time, the demand for those college degrees that I said has been created over the past, you know, half a century or so has largely been filled. And now we're kind of in a vacuum for people who have actual useful skills like plumbing and like building fucking railroads and like maintaining fucking electrical sites or power generation plants or whatever the hell else these people do. This is how uneducated I am on it. My dad's a carpenter, so I can't even imagine what the rest of you guys whose dads are MD at Goldman Sachs, what you guys know about this stuff. So this is pretty insane. Are blue collar jobs the new wave? Is this kind of the new vibe? Somebody let me know if that is. Is it a long-term trend for the US? Is it just a kind of a post-pandemic fad that's sticking around for a while? Only time will tell, so stay tuned and we'll be right alongside there with you. Now, of course, finally, Mr. Peter Lynch, we did want to finish up with a quote of his for the day here. We're talking about the kids. We're talking about stocks as always. And he said, owning stocks is like having children. Don't get involved with more than you can handle. If only he gave that advice to P. Diddy before this weekend. I mean, that would have been super helpful for that guy because God knows what that guy's been doing and where he is right now. That is definitely not something that we're going to get into on this channel, but God, I couldn't resist saying it at least. Either way, thanks for joining us here today, guys. I know we got a long one here, so hopefully my yapping here today made up for the lack of yapping over this Easter weekend. Hopefully you actually spent some time with your families, and like I said, went outside, smelled the roses, enjoyed a nice Easter egg race? Hunt, actually. Easter egg hunt is what they're called. But either way, like I said, thanks for joining us here today. Shout out to the Daily Peel. Go subscribe. Go check out WSO Alpha. Go check out WSO Academy. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Thanks again, apes. Happy investing. Happy trading. Bye now.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. Until next time.